Welcome back, everyone, for this week's Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 33 from September the 12th of 1992. Doc, we are in a new location, man. We are in Pikeville College Gym in Pikeville, Kentucky. Before I ask you for information about it, how are you doing first, sir? You doing all right today?
Oh, I'm doing fantastic. And what do you think they teach, like welding or coal mining, or what do you think the major
track is? It's a liberal arts college now.
Now it is? Or, I mean, so well, it wasn't back then?
I mean, that's what it says. It's now a university and not a college. I mean, what the fuck does that mean? I don't know. It's not called Pikeville College anymore.
Okay.
Liberal in that back-ass part of the world probably means that we need to finally let women vote and free the slaves.
new listeners of ours, these two are playing heel. They don't really mean that about your great area in Pikeville, Kentucky,
it's
or Kentucky
true.
In general.
Look, we've run off all the people that might possibly listen to this by now. So we're good with our crew. They know what to expect. Fuck
not.
Them. They don't.
All right, here you go. We got Doc Turner here. He likes playing heel. We got Hardbody Harper from Wildcat Sports and Entertainment out of New Orleans. He likes playing heel too. Actually, he's a better heel than Doc ever can dream of being. But anyway, we are here. It is Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode number 33. Welcome to all the new listeners for us. It is September the 12th of 1992. Doc, you always like to give us some demographics on the new venue. So we're in our first week, I should say, in Pikeville. So what do you got for us, man? You got anything that would be interesting to know?
Pikeville, Kentucky is a town of about 6,800 people. That's a big, big town in this amongst the trees out there.
That feels like a decent sized, yeah, a decent population for some of the, let me say this, by comparison to some of the other towns we've been to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Shut up.
School holds 2,300 people.
Yeah. So we're in Eastern Kentucky, deep in Appalachia, coal country. Just so you know, Pikeville, Kentucky is 94.6% white.
I like that place.
Yeah. Oh, God. You got to clarify. Oh, jeez. No. Hey, Harper, this motherfucker lives in New Orleans. He's so full of shit, it's not funny. God, y'all need to stop playing heel, man. Y'all going to run people off, dude. Fuck.
Get the stepping.
Okay.
Here's the other thing. This will probably air after this has happened, but in case it doesn't, this is timely. We're recording this in the early part of March. Every April, there is a festival in Pikeville, Kentucky called Hillbilly Days.
God.
You're kidding.
No.
I didn't expect that. I feel like, no, he's
also
not telling the truth.
No. It's real.
Oh, God.
When have you known me to lie? And the other thing is that we do have one famous person that many people will know that is actually from Pikeville, unlike some of these other jerkwater pieces of shit towns. And that is Dwight Yoakam is from Pikeville.
All right.
Oh, okay.
You know who that is, Mike?
Thanks for doing your...
Know who the fuck that is.
No, I don't know. Tell us all who it is. Since you're going to accuse me of being an idiot anyway, go ahead. Go ahead, tell the people.
Well, Dwight Yoakam is a country music artist, but he's a little bit more hip than your Garth Brooks or your Alan Jackson. He's got a little bit more style to him. And back in the late '80s, he had a hit song with guitars and Cadillacs.
I don't listen to country music.
In fact, it said guitars, Cadillacs, and hillbilly music.
It was in Terminator when they're fighting in the fucking bar scene in the beginning.
See.
I'm more of an R&B type guy, you know. That's my type of music, man. I don't do country music. No disrespect to the good people and the fine people in the Smoky Mountains, because I appreciate all of our Smoky Mountain listeners who listen to this show. Even though I've only driven through the Smoky Mountains, never actually been, you know, lived there or visited much.
Dude, my dad used to take us there all the time when I was a kid.
And you liked it, didn't you?
Yeah.
You had to crawl
white people.
Yeah, Mike, you had to crawl out from some pretty hard scrabble beginnings, so I wouldn't expect you to have made it far enough to be well-rounded and well-cultured to know lots of different things. You just know what you know, and really we can't fault you because a few weeks back we heard about your story on your 10th birthday, and that was one of the saddest things I'd ever heard.
Yeah.
And it really does, I'm going to say, your pathetic upbringing, I got a little bit of more respect for you than I did before because I'm surprised you didn't kill yourself before you got out of your teenage years.
Okay, that's real good. Well, I tried to do some research to figure out the attendance for this venue, for these tapings. I couldn't find anything, but based on what I'm seeing, I'd estimate, I don't know, it looks like there may be a good 450 in attendance here. I can't really see all sides of the ring, so it's a little hard to tell.
Well,
and if I'm off...
It depends on who you ask. If you ask the boys, there was 1,000, and if you ask the promoter, there was 110.
Well, here's the thing. I would ask a fan, if there are any fans out there listening to us who actually were at these tapings, because we've heard from a few people that were at some of the tapings. I'd want to know, hey, what, you know, how many people did you estimate were there at this time as you sat in that building, you know, over 20 years ago? But anyway, let's get into the show because we've burned enough time listening to your bullshit on this week's episode. We got a good episode coming up. We got Dutch and Bob Cottle. They run down, set the table for us. They always do. They announced that the main event will be Dixie Dynamite and Nitro Danny Davis versus Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden, the stud stable. Dutch Mantell is holding the wanted sign we've seen for a few weeks now. Dutch announces that on Down and Dirty, he will have primetime Brian Lee and Bullet Bob Armstrong today on. Bob Cottle then belts out his normal and now famous to us, let's go to the ring for the first match of the day. Doc, you got anything before we roll into the opening match?
No, sir.
All right, Harper, you got anything?
Let's go. Ben Jordan.
We got Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, versus Ben Jordan, as Hardbody Harper just said. And, you know, I really don't have much from this match other than Dutch and Bob speculate on Orndorff possibly being the man with a hit out on primetime Brian Lee. Dutch doesn't believe that he's the man with the hit out because Orndorff is a man of high moral character. It's a quick match, 2 minutes, 21 seconds to be exact. Orndorff hits Jordan with a knee drop off the top rope and then gets the win on Jordan. Harper, you got anything from this match?
No, they just kind of go through it and he drops the knee from the top rope or whatever. Then it's, you know,
yeah,
peace out.
Done.
Let's go home.
Peace.
Yeah.
Peace. What you got, Doc? Anything?
No, they're just keeping Orndorff hot for the Garvin feud, so good stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Well, we then go to another promo. I say another promo because Orndorff promoed last week, so we got a quick one from him here. And this is after the match, so let's listen in and see what Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff has to say.
Fans, let's go right now. Standing by, Bob Cottle to do a quick interview right here with Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
All right, and Dutch, right you are. Let's bring him over here. Here's Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, fans. And, Paul, we've been talking about the $10,000 bounty in Brian Lee. There's been a lot of speculation that Paul Orndorff may be behind that. He may be the one putting up the $10,000.
Let's just get one thing straight. The whole Smoky Mountain Wrestling and everybody concerned, Bob, what's his name, Armstrong, the commissioner?
Yeah.
You know what it is? Because I got a face like Robert Redford, a body like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and a mind like Albert Einstein. They're all jealous. Every man sitting out there is jealous of Mr. Wonderful. And you call this the Mountain State? I ain't seen one mountain man yet. I've seen nothing but a bunch of babies, a bunch of sissies, and I'm sick and tired of it. Brian Lee, Ronnie Garvin, before it's all over and done with, I'm gonna pile drive you. And it's going to be all over. I might even pile drive you.
All right, fans, we'll be back. Let's take this time out.
Bob Cottle. Hey, he got scared for a second. Doc, you got anything from the promo, man, you want to share with the good people?
So last week we gave Tim Horner shit for being out of breath. And you can tell Orndorff worked a match, and you can tell he's a little bit out of breath. But he fired up there and was able to compose himself and deliver a good promo. So thumbs up, Paul Orndorff. Thumbs down, Tim Horner.
Pretty much. What you got, Harper?
Yeah, the same, man. He just got done working a match, and he sounds like he didn't even do anything.
Yeah, I 100% agree there. Look, you're talking about a guy who's what? He's been, you know, WrestleMania. I mean, he's been there and done it. You know what I mean?
Hey, yeah. But Tim Horner's got to be one of the top 10 contenders in the promotion.
Yeah,
you heard
right.
Him last
week. He's one of the top guys.
bro, there's only 11 dudes here. If you're not in the top 10.
Right, if you're in the top 10, something's wrong.
It's the top 10 in Ben Jordan, so shut the fuck up.
We go to the next segment. Is a recap of the Heavenly Bodies and Cornette from Bob Cottle. Cottle introduces the segment and states that Cornette stooped to a new low last week when Cornette knocked out Bobby Fulton with ether or chloroform. Chloroform or something else. Cottle then throws us to a video package of the segment, and it's the ether incident, as we call it here. After the video package recap, we will hear from the Fantastics and then the Heavenly Bodies. Let me say this before I play it, because this is long and I'm not going to play the whole thing. Bobby and Jackie are basically not happy at all. Bobby claims he could still smell what knocked him out a few days ago from what was used. Basically, you know, like the, you know how, I guess that's not far-fetched, because you know how sometimes you have a scent that just won't go away? I'll give you an example. The first time I walked into my mom's house after Hurricane Katrina, I still can smell smell. To this day, that scent is like, I remember it, and it's like a scent that lingers. So anyway, I think like that's what I think he was trying to communicate across. Well, you know what I'm talking about, Harper, right?
Yeah.
That house smell from those houses being inundated with water and that sat in them for weeks was just not a pleasant smell. But anyway, Armstrong said he couldn't do anything because it was a no DQ match. You know, Bob then says they've signed a rematch and Cornette will be handcuffed to Bullet Bob or Armstrong. Doc, you got anything about the Heavenly? Not the Heavenly Bodies, but the Fulton's promo here before I turn on the Heavenly Bodies.
Well, so I would have. I was laughing. I would have. Shut up. Okay.
Proceed.
No.
He's mad. He's mad, Offer. Okay. So anyway, we'll play the Heavenly Bodies. Go ahead, Doc. I didn't mean to piss you off, man. You're so sensitive.
I'm good.
Go ahead. You're good? You don't want to say anything?
Nope.
Okay.
Fuck these people.
All right.
And fuck you.
Stan, don't believe it took an act like that, a reprehensible act which Cornette pulled for you guys to regain the championship.
Never let it be said, Bob Cottle, that the world's greatest tag team has ever complained about anything. But let me just say this, after 13 years of being on top of this sport, I've had my share of injuries, but none have ever been of the magnitude of the injury that I sustained at the hands of the Fantastics. I've got a perforated eardrum. I have to wear protective headgear, and I want all the people in the Smoky Mountain area. It hurts when I talk this loud, but I'm so upset. I want all the people to keep the noise down. I could sustain permanent brain damage. And let me just say one other thing. I'm getting sick and tired of all these fat, disgusting, non-man-taking sweat hogs trying to hang all over us, trying to tear our clothes off, and trying to get close to us every chance they get. We've already said it time and time again. We do not associate with any female in the Smoky Mountain area because we have ours. We have our women flown in, whether it's from California, Florida, and yeah, even sometimes Texas, man. But just like seafood, we have our women flown in, man.
Was it ether? Was it chloroform?
No. Hey, maybe the ether bunny just came a little bit early this year. But you saw that interview right there with the Fantastics talking about Commissioner Bob Armstrong being handcuffed to me like a common criminal. Armstrong, you may used to be being in handcuffs, but I'm not. I've never been arrested in my life. You probably spent a lot of time in jail. But I tell you what, that just proves that Bob Armstrong is out to see these men lose the belts again, just like he did before. But it ain't going to work this time, Commissioner. And as for that bounty, my man Killer Kyle right here, the human monster, invincible, invulnerable, impervious to pain. It's so easy to hurt others when you can't feel pain. He's coming after that $10,000, brother. And Brian Lee, I wouldn't be in your shoes for anything. And one more thing before I go. Everybody's been chanting, rock and roll, rock and roll. Well, let me tell you this. It's no secret that Jim Cornette's tag teams have had a long and violent feud with the Rock and Roll Express. And ever since we regained the Smoky Mountain tag title, people have been coming up to us in airports, in hotels, all in restaurants saying, you're not true champions until you have beat the Rock and Roll Express. So, brother, we're going to rectify that situation. I asked for a match. And next week, right here on television, we're going to defend the title against Ricky and Robert, the Rock and Roll Express. And then, once they get their one chance at the title, and we beat them, and they don't win the belts, then they're never going to see these things again, brother, because we will have proved that we are true champions by defending against the Rock and Roll Express and keeping this gold.
What about that, Vinny News fans? Next week right here. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Doc, go ahead. I shit on you a second ago. Go ahead. You talk first this time.
Well, if you're playing at home, and so remind you that when the heavenly bodies come out, a lot of times we have the, what is it, the Tom Pritchard hair fluffing drinking game contest. So always keep an eye on that and how much you're going to have to drink. Also,
nothing but love for Dr. Tom, as you say that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Dr. He's Tom awesome. Awesome.
He's been in every way, shape, or form. They're flying in women from all over the country, goddammit.
Like seafood, man.
What if it had said, what if it had said he had hoes in different area codes back then?
Oh, God. That would have really put it over the top. We got hoes in different area codes. Unfortunately, that didn't come out for probably another 7 years, 8 years or so, that song. But go ahead,
also,
Doc.
Did you notice the people were hot here, man? They got the people worked up into a lather when you listen to it in the background. And I'm just wondering, man, they showed a couple of shots of the crowd this episode. I don't know if it was this particular segment or other ones, but I just wrote down the – what?
I'm laughing because you're about to insult the people.
Well, yeah. Here's what I don't understand.
Okay.
How come poor people are always fat?
Bruh. I was thinking the same thing. Jesus Christ.
That's an overgeneralization.
You would think that poor people would be hungry all the time, and therefore they would be skinny.
That's an overgeneralization.
Because they go to the Dollar Tree and they buy all that cheap shit at the fucking Dollar Tree, fucking cinnamon buns and shit.
What they ought to do is just go get them a bag of sugar and a bag of salt, and to recreate the Mountain Dew, just get some battery acid and mix that shit all together and drink it.
You're generalizing poor people now.
No, fat poor people.
Right.
You're overgeneralizing people who are poor and on welfare. That's not always the case. Come on, man. Are you done, Doc? Are you done? I'm curious. Are you done? Because I got something I got to say from that.
Sure. Go ahead. Let's hear what you have to say.
Cottle asked Cornette, was it ether? And Cornette said, well, maybe the ether bunny came early this year.
That was great. That was great.
that was awesome. It was cheesy, but it was fucking fabulous. I mean, I just loved it. I don't know, man. And in there, look, they're starting to introduce this whole thing with the Rock and Roll Express all of a sudden, too. So we're leading into some things, man. If you remember a couple weeks back, we said it's going to be a hot end of 1992. And here we are, September the 12th, 1992. And we're about to these next couple of months of Smoky Mountain are about to set the territory on fire, in my opinion, and really lead into some good shit. So there we go. I don't have anything else. Harper, did you have anything?
No.
All right. We go to next thing is a house show promo or a local promo. Killer Kyle and Cornette, and it's followed by the Stud Stable. I'm leaning towards playing this for one reason, because of what Jimmy Golden said. You know, we talked about the barbed wire cage being a chicken coop or a chicken cage coop. So do y'all want to hear it live, or would you rather we put it at the end of the episode?
We've already sold it, so now you got to play it, jackass.
All right. Let me see if I can get past Phil Rainey's part, because Phil Rainey's part is kind of long. So hold on. All right, here we go.
The finish as the Rock and Roll Express take on Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden.
Let me just draw an illustration here. You see that paper right there? That just goes to show you how crooked Bob Armstrong is. First, he's the one that stuck us inside that barbed wire cage. Everybody saw it on TV against the Fantastics. People were bleeding from stem to stern. Now he's doing the same thing to the Stud Stable. And what's he doing to us to make sure we lose the belts? He's handcuffing me to Bob Armstrong, and he's putting the Fantastics back in the ring against the Heavenly Bodies. Armstrong, I'm going to have something up my sleeve beside a handcuff in Beckley.
Let's hear from the Stud Stable.
You know something, Phil? When you got you a bunch of chickens out there in your barnyard and they keep trying to get out there, you got to build yourself a chicken coop. Well, in Beckley, West Virginia, we got us a chicken coop for you hens out there, brother. We got us a cage match with barbed wire around the top of it, and you ain't going nowhere. You belong to me and the Tennessee Stud in Beckley, and that's going to be doomsday for you boys.
You know, Jimmy, ain't it funny? It seems like every time a pretty face comes along, somebody's ugly wants to mess it up. And God knows there's a bunch of you up there in Beckley. But I'm going to promise you this. If you like those boys' faces of rock and roll, you're not going to like them so good when I drag them across the barbed wire.
So I like the chicken coop comment. And Harper, I'm assuming that's our same cage that they reused. I don't think they built a new one.
It's fog.
But we got to find out from Cornette, man. We do have to find that. That's another one of the questions. If you listen to Corny's drive-thru, submit that to him. Tell him, hey, the guys from BTT want to know, and the Smoky Mountain guys want to know, hey, was that the original cage, or did you have to rebuild another one there? I'm willing to bet they reused it, but that's just my thoughts on it. So, Harper, what were you about to say?
I just love how it's just – it sucks you don't have heels like this anymore.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean,
they really talk people in there, man. It's just, It sucks that this doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, you think about that. Nobody talks anybody into the building anymore.
No.
Nobody.
So we're entering a period of smoky. Well, we're entering a period of Smoky Mountain, and this is a classic example of where we have a Jim Cornette promo thrown to another Jim Cornette promo.
Yes.
If you like Jim Cornette promos and Rock and Roll Express promos, the next 10 episodes are going to be great for you and probably longer than that, which I like it. So, I you know, here we are.
Yeah.
The coop is back. Good to see the coop back into play. And I've watched Smoky Mountain once in the past 2 years. I went through the whole start to finish. That's the first time I'd watched it. So this is my second time through. And as you really start to analyze these things, there are guys that I liked the first time through that I continue to like. And then there are guys that upon greater inspection really have grown on me this time through. And all of them I've seen other places, but for some reason it's just the appreciation I have for them. So one of them is Paul Orndorff. I have a greater appreciation this time going through Smoky Mountain than I've ever had for him. But God damn it, if the Stud Stable hasn't grown on me like a fucking genital wart. Jesus Christ, these guys are awesome.
I think it's because you're going through it slower this time too. You kind of breezed through it the first time you went
right.
through the library. You really binge watched it. Yeah.
Fuller just fires up here and he's pissed off and he's going to make somebody ugly and he's God dang it, just fucking fantastic shit. And you know what? Back to Harper's point, it ain't that fucking hard. You know what you do? You set up a personal issue. You talk a bunch of shit. You punch each other in the face a few times. You talk some more shit. You get a cage involved. You bleed a little bit, and this shit draws money.
Yeah, it's not really hard at all. It's actually quite fucking easy. Matter of fact, Doc, you know what I just found on my computer?
Pornography?
We're talking Smoky. We're talking Smoky Mountain, but I just want to play this real quick.
Oh Jesus.
Actually, I don't know if it's the MSL rant. You think I should play that?
Go ahead.
Nah, I won't do it. We'll do it another time. Yeah.
Way to tease the people and then not deliver.
I know. You just jerked me off.
Jesus Christ. Oh well, I this is as far much as I can do. Bitch, my balls are blue.
All right, hold on. Here we go.
I just don't want you to think I'm a whore. Well, too late.
I was talking to somebody in the company recently and really trying to rack my brain of like, is Roman Reigns fixable at this point if they are hell-bent on this thing? And one of the issues that really stood out to me was, let's go with the assumption that it's Roman Reigns at Triple H. Let's say it's 3 months ago, we're planning things out. And that's the match no matter what. What would have given Roman Reigns the best chance to get over, in my opinion, is if Triple H was fucking with everyone on the roster, not necessarily Roman Reigns. He's fucking with everyone on the roster. He's running roughshod. He's got some corporate champion. He's abusing everyone. And the one guy that he can't fuck with is Roman Reigns. So he's trying to keep Roman Reigns away from the title because he knows he's the one guy that's badass enough to stand up to him. And that's the one guy that he can't push around. And yet, instead, we've seen Roman Reigns just beaten down over and over and screwed and fucked and yada, yada, yada. And maybe they think that's the traditional way you build a babyface is this whole chase and this and that. But let me throw some names at you where that's not what they did. Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan. I think those guys did pretty well. And how well would they have done if they'd look like a fucking bitch for 9 months first?
Exactly.
Right? Nothing to add there, Kevin. Well, I feel like I'm just ranting, man.
That's the stamp. I mean, let's go back to what worked. It's that simple. They're the ones that are making this fucking thing hard. It ain't that fucking hard, guys. We ain't building a rocket. We're getting guys over in a fake fucking business. Jesus Christ, you're absolutely right, Em. Bruno would have been flipping fucking Italian sausages 2 years after they booked him like this.
Doc, that's the now famous Kevin Sullivan promo from over a year ago now. I think it was like a year and 3-4 months ago. But it adds to your point that it ain't that fucking hard, guys. We ain't building a rocket. We're getting guys over. Ain't that right, Doc?
Well, and it's reason number 48 why I no longer watch the WWE. And so I you know, giving up the product, my hair's coming back. It's less gray. I'm losing weight. I'm sleeping better at night. They don't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, they're into
returning profit for the shareholders and business models and digital platforms and a bunch of shit that don't have shit to do with about getting motherfuckers over and drawing some real money here.
Yeah. They especially don't give a shit about motherfuckers getting over. It's all about the brand.
Well, and here's the thing. What MSL is describing is, let's let Triple H be a real motherfucking heel and go get some shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's throw up some real shit here, not some phony, hokey horse shit. And so the other thing is, and this is, if you go back and you look at the WWE Network, once again, that's why you only see 8 fucking episodes of the 200 of Smoky Mountain. They own all 200, but they only put 8 up there. Why? Because they don't want you to see what real wrestling looks like.
And real fucking heat looks like. No shit. Finally something we agree on. No shit on that one. Okay, we'll move forward now, because it ain't that fucking hard, guys. We ain't building a rocket. Shit. Okay, they play a segment, the Dream Match Contest and Rules. I didn't take notes on this. Doc, you're more familiar with this shit than I am. Can we skip over that, the whole Dream Match thing? Or did you have something you wanted to discuss?
I've always wondered if someone fucking... Who fucking won that thing? I want to know what the fuck happened. Like, did they really get a fucking limo ride and all that shit?
Bro, this is wrestling. It wouldn't surprise me if for 1 minute it's a work. Like, I'm not saying that people aren't submitting shit, but, man. I mean, I'm sure there was a winner, but just some of the submissions. Can you imagine the submissions they got in the Dream Match contest? I used to see whenever we did WWE on our flagship show on Thursdays, I used to see like people would send fantasy booking ideas that they wanted me to discuss on air. And some of the fantasy booking ideas that some of these fucking people would send, I'd be like, what the fuck did you just smoke? I mean, it just like, so like whenever I hear Dream Match contest, I'm thinking like, that's the same concept, fantasy booking, except it's 1992 version of fantasy booking. So yeah. I don't know. Doc, what did you think?
I didn't remember this, so it either didn't play out well or didn't play out at all.
Okay. Well, I mean, it kind of does play out a little. I've seen like what they do with some of the matches that end up airing, but it's not like, to me, it's not real, real memorable.
Can you just shut up and get to our next segment so that we can start burying Tim Horner?
We got Tim Horner versus Joe Kazana. The Dirty White Boy and Ron Ryder joined the commentary booth. How many times have we seen Horner and Kazana wrestle, Doc? I'm curious. It feels like a lot.
Yeah.
It feels, It feels like, you know, on some of those like Monday Night Raws where like two guys have fought like a million times.
I swear that's what
it feels like.
You mean, Randy Orton and John Cena?
Something like that. Yes. Yes. We've seen these guys wrestle way too many times.
He's their top heel jobber.
Pretty much, so, I think so.
Yeah.
So anyway,
what happened to Barry? What happened to Barry Horowitz? I thought Doug was going to
mention thing.
Barry did disappear, man.
He went out for that cup of coffee and never came back.
Man, that
kinda
shit sucks.
Kind of like your dad did, Mike.
Oh, thanks for fucking taking a jab at me. That's real nice. Him and his broad named Brenda. We'll cut that on another Patreon episode. That was some good stuff. Dutch and Bob start trading insults at the beginning of this match between Horner and Kazana. Dutch tells Bob that Bob needs to listen to him because he will learn more in a course of an hour than Bob can learn in a whole semester in a Kentucky school system.
Oh boy, dirty, got a point there.
Dirty Dutch takes a shot at Bob Caudle. Bob Caudle sarcastically tells Dutch that earlier today, someone came up to him and said that Dutch Mantel is the man, the legend, and a way of life. From this point in the match, let's be real, this match ain't shit compared to the Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright, who joined the commentary booth. This is a rather long segment, but very much one worth listening to, so here it is.
Man who wants to get a title shot.
Hey, wait a minute. Here comes Mr. Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy out, and Dutch, let's get them a microphone over here. And let's talk to him. I want to talk to him, Dutch.
Okay.
While they're out here and while this match is going on.
Go ahead.
Let me talk to Mr. Ron Wright into the Dirty White Boy out there and just ask him point blank, because in the ring right now is White Lightning, Tim Horner. Have you guys been avoiding Tim Horner?
Let me tell you something. We never avoid anybody. What the problem is, Tim Horner's been harassing me at home. He's called me on the telephone at 4 o'clock in the morning and got me out of bed. He's called me when I'm trying to eat supper. I can't even get time to take my arthritis medicine and my heart medicine for this man harassing me. He does it again. I've even jerked my telephone out of the wall and is calling the next door neighbors trying to get me to the phone, wanting to know why we won't give him a title match.
Yeah, why don't you? Why don't you it's sign a match?
It's simple. Match. He's not the number one rated man. Tell him that.
That's it, Bob. It's real simple. Who is Tim Horner? Who has he beat? Huh? He's beaten all of his opponents right here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling. He's been wading right through them.
What opponents? I haven't seen anybody.
There's a good one in there now in Joe Kazana.
He's had his people go around here and sign him up on these little pitsy matches that don't mean anything. He's never had nobody in there to beat.
Yes.
He's not even man enough to shine the Dirty White Boy.
I told
food.
You, Bob.
Let's have a title match with him.
If he's such an easy task for the Dirty White Boy, leaping right over Kazana. Good move and a takedown from behind. Look at that spinning move. Back with a leg now. That's action. That's excitement. There's an athlete that's got a lot of skill and a lot of athletic ability. I don't know that the White Boy can contend with that.
Excuse me. You don't know if I can contend with that. I happen to be the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, and don't you or anybody else forget it, because, brother, I'm the man on top of the hill. They've got to work their way up the ladder to get to me.
All right, if he's such an easy task, if Tim Horner is going to be such an easy task, why don't you just solve the whole thing, put your name on the dotted line, and you just wipe him out?
We've got more sense to sign our name on a dotted line with a man that don't deserve a title match. We signed the dotted line with real deserving people that deserve a title match with this Smoky Mountain title, Mr. Caudle.
Oh, Kazana just put a big neck breaker right on Horner, and that shows you what a tough competitor Horner is to come up from a move like that and get back on his feet.
Well, we've not said he's not a tough man. What we're saying, he's not rough enough and he's not tough enough to get in the ring with the Dirty White Man, the Dirty White Boy, and Ron Wright, the man, to have a title match.
White Boy, how would you compete? How would you take a man like Horner out? A man that's as fast and a man that's as quick.
Simple. You slow the quickness down with one big right hook, and that's all she wrote, Daddy.
Right.
Pull a dog's in, the hunt's over.
See, now I told you. Horner can't compete with White Boy. If he could, you know. There's the roll up, and there's the bridge. Nobody gets out of that move. One, two, three.
Your winner of the match.
Man, Tyson rolled him out and beat him. underhanded thing I've ever seen in my life.
All right, and we can go back and take a look at that. Dutch, watch this one in slow motion.
Let's take a look at it. He does his signature move right here. He does the leapfrog over and does the roll up right there, and he does a little pin back, and he gets. Wait a minute, fans, right in front of the desk here, we got something going on here. Tim Horner's intercepted. Dirty white boy.
Didn't even bother calling me.
All right, Tim Horner came right over here to confront him. What you say, Tim? You been leaving messages for him?
I've left you messages. Can't get a hold of the dirty white boy. I just want you to know, for the first time I get to confront you, because I can't catch you any other.
People broke down, man. Mr. Horner need no
see
heart
what you're doing. You're
the hip implant.
No you're,
I feel a heart attack coming on.
I'm not gonna touch you. I just want to know if my name's in that hat.
Your hand, your name, definitely. We keep everybody's name in the hat before we draw any names out here. Everybody's name.
He says your name's in there, Tim.
Well, I just want to make sure it's in there because I can't get a hold of you. All I want is a chance at that title. That's all I want.
All right, fans, it's in there according to them. Tim Horner's name in a hat. We'll be back right after this.
Doc, there's a lot there, man. So, I don't know where to start.
He wants his name in the hat. Well, I'm sure all these people in Appalachia want Cole to come back too, but it ain't going to happen. So
I don't know about that.
Well, no, just Horner is like that guy. He's like a stalker. He's like, why won't you call me back? Why won't you call me back?
Jesus,
I was good to you. I was good. Those were the best 3 months of our lives. Why won't you call me back, Tammy?
I love when Ron Wright said, we're not avoiding anyone. What Horner is harassing me by calling me at 4 a.m. Then Wright says, he's ripped his phone from the wall. Tim Horner then turns around and calls Ron Wright's next-door neighbor. Oh, man.
And we have out-of-breath Horner again. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. He's good. Harper, what you got? I'm sorry.
If you didn't know any better, you might think he was, you know, special or something.
Go, Jesus, Tim, if you're listening to this. I'm sorry.
He don't listen to this.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Because he's just like, I just want to know. This my name. Why? Go sit down, man. Fuck. Way to kill a fucking feud, man. Fuck.
Yeah, way to absolutely tie up the world champion in a meaningless
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking when I'm watching this. I was like, this is such a waste of a fucking match. I don't care who fucking went. Well, I just hope fucking Tim Horner doesn't fucking win.
Can you imagine the outrage of Horner wins this freaking Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight title. Oh, dear God. We got anything else before I move in? Okay, go ahead.
We have like 7 legitimate feuds going on that are hot, or 6, that are like hot as fuck, and Smoky Mountain's heating up. And the worst one of them, the worst feud in the books right now, is the Horner with the champion.
That's a good point. I didn't really think about it like that, but that is an excellent point. It's kind of ironic, or it's a little crazy that you got so many other great feuds, and the one feud that to me is the one for the title.
And we all know it's not Dirty White Boy's fault with Ron Wright because they're out there.
Oh God!
They're out there fucking home run every time.
Yeah, I mean, Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright.
Tim Horner may be the only guy in history that can make Ron Wright a babyface just because.
Especially in 1992. I mean, yeah. It is what it is. We go to the next segment. We got Down and Dirty with Dutch with Bully Bob Armstrong. And you know how we do it around here, so here it is.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Down and Dirty with Dutch. I'm Dutch Mantel, and you're not. Today, my special guest on Down and Dirty, of course, is Commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Bob Armstrong, and the most wanted man in America because of these posters that have been put all over the Smoky Mountain Wrestling area. Now, Bob Armstrong, I know you're very concerned about these posters because you don't know the man behind it, and I just wanted to tell you my personal opinion. Of course, I think it's reprehensible, and I've often said that men shouldn't do this, and I think you should get to the bottom of the problem. I'm on your side, and I've always been on your side. Now, I understand that a mystery man has written another letter, and he sent it to you, and can you reveal it on Down and Dirty with Dutch today?
That's exactly why. That's why I came here, Dutch, is to read this letter to you that this sicko has written me. I can recognize the handwriting already. There's never a signature, but there's plenty of wanted posters around. I've got enough to wallpaper my house, and I'm sick of it, and Brian's sick of it. Listen to the letter. Commissioner Armstrong, you seem surprised that my follower keeps returning. All the police and all the security in the world cannot stop him from doing my will. You will regret having wronged me. All of wrestling will pay. You, Armstrong, will be forced to stand by and watch. You will be helpless to stop it. Brian Lee will be the first to suffer, but he won't be the last. Do not interfere with my errand boy, or more of your friends will be hurt. Now, I've racked my brains to think of somebody in my past that would be this sick to do something like this, and I can't think about it. People are on my back wanting a shot at Brian Lee for $10,000. Listen to this list. Dirty White Boy, Paul Orndorff, Killer Kyle, the Heavenly Bodies, and I've even had an offer from outside Smoky Mountain Wrestling for a $10,000 shot at him. And I'm going to tell you this. Call me. Let's talk about it. Let's have a meeting. Let's be face-to-face. Let's be stand up about it. Maybe we can solve the problem. And if I find out anybody in Smoky Mountain Wrestling right now is involved in this, they're going to be banned, and that is forever. I'm going to give this to you, Brian Lee. You do with it what you've done the rest of them.
Well, first of all, let me say this now. This is an investigative segment that I'm doing right here. Brian Lee, I would just like to ask you right now, are you, you know, to me, if somebody was doing this to me, you know, I'd have a little trouble sleeping at night. Now, wait a minute. Can you sleep at night? Can you sleep at night?
You're exactly right. I can sleep at
night. Are you nervous?
Nervous is an understatement, but I'm going to do with this just what I've done with everyone else. It's like Bob Armstrong said, if the man will get in my face, it's much easier. You know, I'm having to look over my back. I'm having to watch every shadow on the wall. $10,000 is a lot of money. And I tell you what, $10,000 will make a man hurt a man. But the only thing that's going to happen is primetime Brian Lee's going to have to get tougher. And I'm going to get tougher starting today. I'm going to take this poster you have, rip it up, and I'm going to rip everybody up that gets in my face.
Well, there you heard it, fans. Bob Armstrong and Brian Lee. And Brian Lee, you can tear all the posters if you want to, but there are thousands floating around. Fans, don't go away. We'll be back in 2 minutes. Stay tuned. Shut up.
All right, Doc, what you got from Down and Dirty right there?
I think I'm going to tell everybody who the mystery man is.
No, don't do that. No. Come on, man. Don't. Spoiler alert. Come on. Stop.
Well, you know, I think this whole angle, this whole writing the letters thing is kind of based on in the 70s, there was a lot of serial killers in the late 70s, and they would kind of contact the press. The Son of Sam was one of those guys that would write letters to the newspaper and taunt. You know, I think that's kind of based off this. So that's kind of where we're going with that. And, again, payoff is big on this one.
Yeah, it is. Harper, you had anything there?
The more he talks about this, the more I want to Google who in the fuck this is.
You know why? Because they set the hook. They actually get episodic TV and you give a shit.
Yes, they do. I think this is funny because in actuality, okay, if this is real life, this is a fucking criminal activity here.
Yeah.
This guy is sending. Yeah, it is. He's got a hit out on a dude. $10,000 hit.
Hey, fuck nuts. So we're putting somebody to sleep with ether, but we didn't worry about that either.
Well, I'm not worried about it. I'm just saying that's what I think is so great about it. It's Southern wrestling at its finest, and it's fucking awesome. Let's now listen to the Dirty White Boy, and it is him and Ron Wright again, and they're about to pick a name out of a hat to see who he will face in his match coming up shortly.
Fans, I'm here right now with the Dirty White Boy's manager, Mr. Ron Wright. And Mr. Wright, you've said he's going to be a fighting champion, that every week, right here, you're going to put everybody in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, their name in the hat. You're going to draw a name out and have a title match right here on television every week. Am I correct?
That's right. That's the only way to do it. We've let the fine commissioner over here, Mr. Armstrong, write down the names of his top 10 contenders for this Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Championship title. I've got these 10 names right here that Mr. Armstrong wrote down, so everybody will know that you won't be nothing underhanded about it, because we want to take them, anybody that we draw out, and show everybody out here in this fine, wonderful Smoky Mountain TV wrestling matches here that we're men enough to give them a title match in there and beat them one at a time every week right here on Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
So you're not concerned. It doesn't matter to you who he draws out.
It doesn't matter what name I pull out of that hat.
they get a shot at the belt. And okay. Dutch, could I pose on you one more time for your hat? Thank you very much. Here you go, Ron. Just dump a name right in there.
Mix them up good. Mix them make up sure good, you get them get a good That's shot it. At it.
Okay, I'm gonna look the other way. That way, there's. Here we go.
It's hard on the poor old man's heart not knowing who to draw out of.
It's Newton Steffi.
That's it.
Newton Steffi.
Newton Steffi.
Newton Steffi is that's the man. Come on down, Newton Steffi. You're the next contestant for the Smoky Mountain heavyweight title, baby.
He's one of the top. He's one of the top men in the world, much less just here on Smoky Mountain.
Oh. He's got to defend that title, and there is Newton Steffi now in the ring as the Dirty White Boy will put up that Smoky Mountain heavyweight title against him right now. Let's go to the ring.
Harper, you that gave you a chuckle, man. What'd you think?
This is my first time seeing a Newton Steppy.
Yeah, this was my first time. Well, I think it's his first appearance on Smoky Mountain, right, Doc?
I only found that he had three appearances total in Smoky Mountain completely, so don't get attached to Newton.
No, he's no, what I'm saying champion. Is this was the first time, though, right? I don't remember
think so.
Him. Yeah. Okay, yeah, that's what I meant. I didn't remember him being on before. So, yeah, he's a Canadian champion.
He must be too busy off building up his reputation as a top contender around the world in other promotions.
Yeah, I thought that was good. I like.
But hey, the democratic process has spoken. A name was drawn out of the hat, so we've got to respect the process and give the man his title shot.
Right. That's let's right. move on. No need to not give the man a shot. So we move to the match. It's Dirty White Boy versus Newton Steffi. Before the match starts, there are two great things. Dutch is singing the praises of how great Newton Steffi is, and Dutch claims, as Harper just said, that Steffi is the Canadian champion. Bob Cottle says, who's he beat? Dutch says, Steffi beat the Canadian champion and became the new champion. Cottle isn't buying this nonsense and says the Dirty White Boy is picking his own inferior opponents. And also, my man Ron Wright took a heart pill before the match started. I don't know if y'all noticed that, but yeah. So just in case you didn't see that,
well, Bob Cottle, it was hurting his heart to not know the anticipation of who the opponent was going to be. So he had to go ahead and pop a pill.
He did. He definitely did. Bob Cottle is appalled as this proceeds, and he says, "Look what I found. That's Tim Horner's name on that paper, and not Newton Steffi." Doc, you got any thoughts so far as we're analyzing this matchup?
Bob Cottle ought to keep his goddamn mouth shut.
Yeah, he's got mind his own business.
Stop. snitches get stitches, old man.
He's a Bob Cottle, one of the best announcers ever. Yeah, okay. The Dirty White Boy makes easy work of Newton Steffi. After that happens, I'm not going to play this, but Horner hits the ring and confronts the Dirty White Boy about Bob Cottle's revelation that Dirty White Boy actually pulled Horner's name out of the hat and not Newton Steffi's. Horner calls Dirty White Boy scared and a coward. Dirty White Boy tells Horner to go back to Morristown and then shoves Horner. Then Horner tells Dirty White Boy to hold the mic, and then he slaps the piss out of Dirty White Boy across the face. I'm going to say this right now to everybody listening. That shit was real can get when he slapped him. Dirty White Boy tells Horner, you want a shot? Then you got it, but it's a non-title matchup. If you beat me, then you get a legit shot at my title. I don't know if I like the non-title part, but whatever. Harper, what did you think about that segment?
Nothing.
No. Nothing. I think part of the issue here is we're getting burnout on this Tim Horner part of it.
Yeah.
I really do. I think so. Well, Doc, what did you have?
Newton Steffi looks like what I imagine every BTT listener to look like.
That's nice. We got more high class listeners than that. I'm sorry to report to you, Doc.
So do you think Dirty White Boy in the back was like, so look, Tim, here's the deal. Nobody's gonna believe that you can actually beat me. So when you get out there, it's okay. I know you're a little bit smaller than me. You can go ahead and paintbrush me there, and I'll make it look real.
Maybe. I don't know. God, Harper with the headset.
I'm sorry. My
jerking
fucking
laptop
is about to fucking tap out. Because I've been doing this shit since fucking Christmas.
He's got to plug it in.
What fucking time is it?
He's trying to move it.
He's trying to move his laptop so he can plug the bitch in.
All right, let's get to the close of the show there. We got Dixie Dynamite, Nitro Danny Davis versus the Stud Stable and Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller. Dixie Dynamite, he's got his new ring attire, or new attire, I should have said, new Confederate flag, large and shiny cape. I bet there was an old lady named Gertrude who sewed that fucking cape together. Scott Armstrong, we love the gimmick. Thank you very much. Dutch announces before the match can begin that we will have a non-title match for the Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight title next week between the Dirty White Boy and Horner. Doc, this match is very uneventful. Harper, it's very uneventful. It's not bad. It's just not flashy.
Yeah, you know, it's just like whatever.
Right. I mean, Dixie Dynamite, I will say this. He is over as much as you might not want to admit it. He is over. And Danny Davis, to me, is very underrated at what he does, not only in wrestling but selling. Things don't get heated up for a while in the match, but when they do, Davis finally makes the hot tag to Dixie. Dixie hits two nice drop kicks onto Golden and Fuller, which was impressive because of the height that Dixie got on those drop kicks. Doc, you got anything before I move to the finish of the match?
Nope. I did like when he said something about Danny Davis got in some kind of trouble in Biloxi for writing bad checks or something.
That was random as fuck. And I have no clue like what that was trying to lead to, or if Dutch was trying to lead Bob Cottle into something that Bob Cottle just didn't catch. But that was kind of funny. It was random. He's like, he wrote bad checks and got arrested. What? Yeah. So we go to the finish. While Davis is getting the boots put to him, Dixie has Golden pinned, and with the assistance from Ricky Morton, as the Rock and Roll Express have run out, Ricky holds down Golden's leg out of the ref's view, and Danny Davis and Dixie get the win. Doc, what'd you think, man?
It's why wins and losses don't always matter if you do this shit right.
I like, you know what I always liked even as a kid? Because the heels always cheated. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I loved when a fucking babyface cheated.
I hate it.
Because they got one up on them. They finally got one up on them.
Right.
Let the professionals keep cheating.
No. Let the fucking babyface get some, throw it back at them. I mean, to me, that's what makes it credible.
Okay.
Look, they didn't cheat to win the belts there. They just helped out those guys who, you got to remember, man, the Stud Stable's been putting the boots to them a little bit here and there. Remember Fire on the Mountain, how all that ended? So I was good with that, man. I really enjoyed it. But anyway, anything else? Harper, you got anything about this match before we move forward?
No.
All right. So we then go to a Tim Horner interview and a Rock and Roll Express interview. I fast-forwarded it here, and I want to poke some fun at Horner real quick.
Boy meets Tim Horner, and in a Smoky Mountain tag title match, Jim Cornette will be handcuffed to Bob Armstrong. The Heavenly Bodies meet the Fantastics. And in the main event, a barbed wire cage match, a battle to the finish, the Rock and Roll Express take on Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden. You'll want to see this one. Let's hear from White Lightning Tim Horner.
You know, Phil, I've made it as plain as I possibly can. I want a title shot with that dirty white boy. You know, he's been avoiding me. Ron Wright's been avoiding me. They won't give me a title shot. Well, I've got a shot against him right here in Beckley, and it's not a title shot. But one way or another, I'm going to get that title shot.
Rock and Roll Express.
You know, Jesus Christ.
I'm not about to listen to the rock and roll again. Horner's exact words. I've got a shot. It's not a title shot. But one way or another, I'm going to get a title shot. What the fuck did you just say?
Did you say you're going to play the rock and roll next?
Do you want me to? I can.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, here it is.
Phil, Ricky and I have been in a lot of kind of matches before, but never a barbed wire match. Let me tell you something, guys. Them matches get pretty awesome. You can get somebody's back. You can rub the head in the barbed wire and all kind of things. Guys, you may be ready for a fight.
You know, this right here has got to come to an end. So Robert and I got with matchmaker Bob Armstrong, and we come up with a match with a barbed wire match. Because Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller are the kind of guys, if they get a little bit behind, they get out on the floor, they find something. This way right here, there's no way out. Once you get inside that barbed wire match, brother, it's a fight to a finish. It don't matter how big you are, it's the one who's the toughest when this match right here is over. Now, we know, Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden, that you're a very big and large and bad team. But one thing about it, you can always be had, especially right here in Beckley, West Virginia. Where the fans stand behind us, this is where we want this match right here to end at. So it's going to happen right here in Beckley, West Virginia. The Stud Stable against the Rock and Roll Express in a barbed wire cage match. Guys, you be ready.
cost of Rock and Roll Express surely is.
Okay, Doc, you wanted me to play it, so go ahead. Let me know what you think.
So there's a contrast of styles here between Ricky Morton and Tim Horner. So right about this time that this show aired, in 1992, there was also a show on MTV called Beavis and Butthead. And I don't know, with our crowd, I probably don't have to explain this too much. But anyway, there was an episode once where Butthead looked at Beavis and said, "Beavis, if nothing sucked, then nothing would be cool." And it's a pretty genius line if you think about it. So is Morton really as great as he is? And I think he is. Or is he really even better looking because he's standing next to Horner after Horner fucking swallows his tongue there? Jesus Christ. So the other thing, and here's an – I mean, just easy stuff to see. Horner's out there bitching and complaining because the champ – you can't get a match with the champ. I can't get a hold of the champ. Morton comes strolling in and he goes, "Brother, I'm tired of this mess, so I went to the matchmaker, Bob Armstrong, and I got myself a match." It's like he just told Horner what to do, and Horner's too stupid to do it.
I like to disagree with you a lot often, Doc, but I don't really have anything else to say because, I mean, you're pretty much spot on right there.
I mean, and I hate to harp on this because Smoky Mountain is hot right now. There's so much good shit going on, but we're wasting so much time with Tim Horner that it's going to drag down the scores here today. I'm sorry. It's just that's
Yeah.
This was a Tim Horner heavy episode. He better be happy he had Ron Wright buoying him up and Dirty White Boy buoying him up right here. You know what I'm saying?
Buoy.
Just yeah. Buoy. I mean, literally, he did. He had them raising him up. After this promo, we go to Jimmy Golden and Robert Fuller, and they basically closing out the show right here.
All right, fans, let me remind you right here, next week you're going to see Tim Horner against the Dirty White Boy, the Heavenly Bodies against Rock and Roll. All of that's going to take place right here next week. Jimmy Golden,
I'm going to tell
Jimmy.
You something. I ain't never in all my life had to wrestle in front of a bunch of more monkeys than I've ever seen. I want to ask you another thing. Did you see what that Ricky Morton did to me out there? I ain't never been robbed so bad in all my life. He tripped me right there and held me down by the foot. I'm going to say one other thing to you, Rock and Roll Express. You won a few, we won a few, but the war is just getting started. You see this stretcher right here? Stretcher match, boys, it ain't going to be over with till both of you Rock and Roll punks flat on this stretcher and they haul you out of here to the hospital.
You know, it's something that they know, Jimmy Golden. They know this is a team right here that should be in New York, Madison Square Garden. We should be in Atlanta. We should be on top in every big city in the world.
And see you next week, man. So long for now.
Quality material for us. Boys, you're going to get it.
You watch that and we'll say it again. That's what we love about wrestling.
Yeah.
Jimmy Golden called audience a bunch of monkeys.
And the thing is, they don't really pop that hard. They just, now, if you call them a bunch of rednecks, you son of a bitch.
Right. but he calls them a bunch of monkeys and they don't even jump. So, yeah, buddy. I don't know. Doc, what'd you have there?
Monkeys. Try that shit in 2017.
Yeah,
well, right. probably shouldn't have tried it in 1992, but in a town that's 95% white, I guess you can get away with that.
Yeah, I was about to say. You and I, we need to have this discussion on a Patreon episode about that, about the old coworker of mine who was a wrestling fan who called another coworker a spot monkey. at work. Called the person a spot monkey, and what happened, because the issue is trying to explain that. So that's gonna be
spot
on a patron.
I knew you'd come.
That's gonna be on a patron episode. Maybe it'll be on the one we do about church and wrestling. But
no,
yeah,
it's completely irrelevant.
A coworker called another coworker a spot monkey, and again, I know for a fact this person is a wrestling fan and never meant it in a derogatory way as far as a racial way. They were trying to basically tell the coworker that all they did was a bunch of fluff and a bunch of shit that didn't mean anything.
But you can't use the term spot monkey in corporate America and expect to get away with it. So, therefore, yes.
What happened?
I'll have to tell that story another time. That's a Patreon episode. Right. But I will tell you. I don't know. I thought this promo was good. So let's go to the disability checks here. I gotta give it probably about a 6.8, and it's only because it just wasn't. You know, you look at the episode we did the week before, and you look at what's coming up. It's kind of hard to really go any higher than that. So I got a 6.8. Tim Horner drugged this thing down. Sorry, Tim. How I feel. Doc, what do you have?
Every time he comes on my screen, I'm just like, I find myself just subconsciously going.
It's like it takes the air out the building.
Yeah, he's just a wet. He's like here's what Tim Horner is. Let's say you went to the movies and you were it's already dark and they're showing the previews and you sat down and you realized that in the previous movie someone spilled their entire Coke on the seat and now you just sat in a wet seat. And you're not real sure what to do, and you paid for the movie, so you're going to stay there. That wet seat is Tim Horner.
Wow. Okay.
I'm here. I paid for this. I'm going to stick it out, but you're making my life miserable while I do it.
So what are you ranking him at? What are you ranking this episode at then?
I'm going to say a 6.4.
Okay. It makes sense. I mean, you know. Like I said, he had Ron Wright and a dirty white boy pulling him up, if you ask me. Harper, what did you rank it as?
I'll give it a 7.
Okay.
Because, I mean, this is just, but he's, Tim Horner, he's fucking, bruh. He's a guy that I, legit, when I see him, the first thing I do, I fucking hit the screen and see, God, how much longer do I have? Is it 51 minutes yet? Fuck. He just fucking kills it for me, man.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to listen to. It's hard. I mean, and that's why a few weeks back, you know, we were talking about the Tony Schiavone when he called Tim Horner underrated.
Yeah, fucking heard that.
Well, like the thing is, I can agree that as a worker in the ring, he may have been. You know, he's Tony Schiavone. Schiavone's seen it all. You know, it's hard to argue that. He may have been underrated in the ring, but as far as a talker,
Christ.
He needed a talker, man. He needed somebody to be a voice for him. Having him talk, his personality is that of a sheetrock wall. And I'm sorry, it's just not. I ain't trying to be mean to the guy. It just doesn't do it for me. Especially when you got, you know, Doc, you pointed it out, that promo. That house show promo where they're, you know, talking to people into the building. You got Horner and he's followed by Ricky Morton. It's just, come on. I mean, it's clear as day right there. It's hard to even argue it. So
he's like a limp dick with fucking Down syndrome. It's just fucking bad.
Jesus.
I mean, it's fucking horrible.
I can't believe Alper just said that. Okay, fuck my life. Oh, I got to compose myself. Hey, I appreciate everybody checking out the show. Hey, if you're listening to this, check out our buddy Joe Stassi, his Old School Pro Wrestling Lives page on Facebook. Just do a search, Old School Pro Wrestling Lives. Joe's very, very supportive of the show. We appreciate everything that he does, sharing the shows and whatnot. He not only shares this show, but he shares the flagship show that drops every single Thursday night, the BTT flagship show, where we have interviews, and right now we're doing a special, and we're going through the WCW Saturday night episode. So, Joe, thank you for always sharing our episodes there. We appreciate it. He's also got the ICW Outlaws of Wrestling Facebook page. So, thanks a lot, Joe. If you are a first-time listener, check out the show. I'm sorry, you're checking it out now, but subscribe to the show on iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcast from. Podcast Addict is another method for Android users. And write us a 5-star review on iTunes. We could always use more 5-star reviews. It would be very helpful if you could do that to us. So help us out there. And then follow us on.
Hold on. If I don't start seeing some more 5-star reviews, I'm going to start tracing your download, and I'm going to drive to your house. And I'm going to stick a hole in your blow-up sex doll. so that you can't fuck it anymore. So we need five-star reviews. Do it.
That is a lame joke. While you're at it as well, follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Harper's at CJ Chudat. God, he's jerking that headset off right now.
That wasn't me, I swear.
Okay. It was
Don't call my joke lame, motherfucker.
Oh, there we go. hey, as far as Twitter goes and Facebook, facebook.com/bookingtheterritory, I'm posting a lot of the top tens that @MartinHowell71 is sending me on Twitter. So all those old PWI things, Martin sending me a bunch of stuff on Twitter, and I'm posting them on the Facebook page, and I'm posting them on the Twitter page. So give us a follow and like us on Facebook. That way you won't miss out on all that cool stuff that I've been posting there. Especially, I mean, that stuff's great for old school wrestling fans. I mean, it just is. All right, let's do some government cheese before we get to the promos of the week that we didn't cover already on this week's episode. Doc, why don't you go first, man? Who's your... Remember, the government cheese does not have to be a good segment. It could be bad as well. So, Doc, who's your government cheese?
Well, I don't give awards out to piss poor performance. So that my government cheese always goes to the most valuable player of the episode, because fuck that. It's got to go to Dirty White Boy and Ron White for carrying Tim Horner through 51 minutes of TV.
I hate to agree with you, but I got to agree. I mean, if they're not there to raise him up, you got a bad episode.
Yeah. If they weren't there, people would change the channel, man. I mean, back then.
Yeah. Now, you had less options. I don't know how many people had cable in this, time frame in the Smoky Mountains, but you're definitely right. You had less distractions. You didn't have social media. You didn't have streaming devices, but you're absolutely right. If Dirty White Boy and Ron Wright aren't there, they're changing the channel.
Going down to the still and checking on their shine.
Hey, that too. All right, we got some promos of the week to get to. I just wanted to mention before we do so, make sure you consider becoming a patron member to get exclusive patron benefits such as the patron-only episodes that we do, and also not only patron-only episodes, but you can possibly cut a promo on Doc Turner and Hardbody Harper and join us for a show. So please consider that. Mm-mm. Go to tinyurl.com/BTTPatron and you can become a BTT patron. It's as little as $2 a month. There's some other higher options as well, but please consider it, and it really would help us. Look, we kick out 8 free shows a month, a lot of time, a lot of effort. I've personally spent a lot of money on putting the shows out there, so please consider becoming a BTT patron member. Again, tinyurl.com/BTTPatron. All of the links that I've discussed also are in the show notes, so please check those out and do so. Hey, and if you like current wrestling, the current wrestling product, I should have mentioned this. I forgot to do it last week. Check out our friends, The Wrestling Podcast About Nothing, Mike Crockett and Brian Malonis. Just search The Wrestling Podcast About Nothing wherever you get your podcast from, and you'll get their episode. All right, Doc, that's all I got. You got anything before we get out of here?
Nope.
Okay, we got some promos of the week coming up shortly. Harper, you got anything before we get out of here?
No, sir.
All right, Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here. And put a wrap on episode number 33 of Smoky Mountain Wrestling from September the 12th of 1992. Hit the tagline, Harper.
Book it, bitch.
You know, Bobby, everybody saw what happened last week. Once again, the heavenly bodies cheated us, and they took our tag team belts. They put something over you. I don't know if it was ether or some type of chemical, but like I said, they stole our belts.
Well, the fact remains, Jackie, that we told them for $20,000 we'd put those belts up, and Coronet seemed to have got to us once again. You know, when I woke up out of a daze, the smell was still within me, and it lasted a couple of days, but the hatred that I have inside for Coronet and the heavenly bodies remain right here. Coronet, I feel we were robbed of the $20,000 and robbed of the tag team titles right there on television. Commissioner Bob Armstrong said there was nothing he could do. He couldn't step in because it was no disqualification and anything could happen. Well, it did. Well, Coronet, we have a surprise with the heavenly bodies. We have proven before that we could beat you guys. And coming up, we've got a match signed, a return title match. And let me tell you something, Coronet, and Fire on the Mountain, we proved we could beat the heavenly bodies. Well, this time, we're going to do it again because you're going to be at ringside, all right. But guess what, Coronet? You're going to be handcuffed to Commissioner Bob Armstrong, and you'll be ringside, brother, but you won't be in the ring. Heavenly bodies, watch out, because the Fantastics are coming after those titles once again, and we're going to take them for the second time.
saying, don't believe it took an act like that, a reprehensible act which Cornette pulled for you guys to regain the championship.
Never let it be said, Bob Caudle, that the world's greatest tag team has ever complained about anything. But let me just say this. After 13 years of being on top of this sport, I've had my share of injuries, but none have ever been of the magnitude of the injury that I sustained at the hands of the Fantastics. I've got a perforated eardrum. I have to wear protective headgear, and I want all the people in the Smoky Mountain area. It hurts when I talk this loud, but I'm so upset. I want all the people to keep the noise down. I could sustain permanent brain damage.
And let me just say one other thing. I'm getting sick and tired of all these fat, disgusting, non-bad-taking sweat hogs trying to hang all over us, trying to tear our clothes off, and trying to get close to us every chance they get. We've already said it time and time again. We do not associate with any female in the Smoky Mountain area because we have ours. We have our women flown in, whether it's from California, Florida, and yeah, even sometimes Texas, man. But just like seafood, we have our women flown in, man.
Was it ether? Was it chloroform?
No. Hey, maybe the ether bunny just came a little bit early this year. But you saw that interview right there with the Fantastics talking about Commissioner Bob Armstrong being handcuffed to me like a common criminal. Armstrong, you may used to be being in handcuffs, but I'm not. I've never been arrested in my life. You probably spent a lot of time in jail. But I tell you what, that just proves that Bob Armstrong is out to see these men lose the belts again, just like he did before. But it ain't going to work this time, Commissioner. And as for that bounty, my man Killer Kyle right here, the human monster, invincible, invulnerable, impervious to pain. It's so easy to hurt others when you can't feel pain. He's coming after that $10,000, brother. And Brian Lee, I wouldn't be in your shoes for anything. And one more thing before I go. Everybody's been chanting, rock and roll, rock and roll. Well, let me tell you this. It's no secret that Jim Cornette's tag teams have had a long and violent feud with the Rock and Roll Express. And ever since we regained the Smoky Mountain tag title, people have been coming up to us in airports, in hotels, all in restaurants saying, you're not true champions until you have beat the Rock and Roll Express. So, brother, we're going to rectify that situation. I asked for a match. And next week, right here on television, we're going to defend the title against Ricky and Robert, the Rock and Roll Express. And then, once they get their one chance at the title, and we beat them, and they don't win the belts, then they're never going to see these things again, brother, because we will have proved that we are true champions by defending against the Rock and Roll Express and keeping this gold.
What about that bit of news, fans? Next week right here. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
We've got a super spectacular coming your way in Hayside, Virginia at Sand Lake Elementary School on Monday, October the 12th, and all seats are only $6 for this big night of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. The Rock and Roll Express will be there. Paul Orndorff, the Heavenly Bodies. We have 10 matches signed in all. And Smoky Mountain Wrestling will be at the Raleigh County Armory in Beckley, West Virginia on Saturday night, October 3rd. We'll ring the bell at 8 o'clock, and we must have a winner in this match. Paul Orndorff meets the Hands of Stone, Ronnie Garvin. Also, the Dirty White Boy takes on Tim Horner. In a Smoky Mountain tag title match, Jim Cornette handcuffed Commissioner Bob Armstrong. Heavenly Bodies meet the Fantastics. Our main event of the evening, a barbed wire cage match, a battle to the finish, as the Rock and Roll Express take on Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden.
Let me just draw an illustration here. You see that paper right there? That just goes to show you how crooked Bob Armstrong is. First, he's the one that stuck us inside that barbed wire cage. Everybody saw it on TV against the Fantastics. People were bleeding from stem to stern. Now he's doing the same thing to the Stud Stable. And what's he doing to us to make sure we lose the belts? He's handcuffing me to Bob Armstrong, and he's putting the Fantastics back in the ring against the Heavenly Bodies. Armstrong, I'm going to have something up my sleeve beside a handcuff in Beckley.
Let's hear from the Stud Stable.
You know something, Phil? When you got you a bunch of chickens out there in your barnyard and they keep trying to get out there, You got to build yourself a chicken coop. Well, in Beckley, West Virginia, we got us a chicken coop for you hens out there, brother. We got us a cage match with barbed wire around the top of it, and you ain't going nowhere. You belong to me and the Tennessee Stud in Beckley, and that's going to be doomsday for you boys.
You know, Jimmy, ain't it funny? It seems like every time a pretty face comes along, somebody's ugly wants to mess it up. And God knows there's a bunch of you up there in Beckley. But I'm going to promise you this. If you like those boys' faces of rock and roll, you're not going to like them so good when I drag them across the barbed wire.
Fans, here's news about an exciting new contest from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. It's the Dream Match Contest, where you can pick the matches you'd like to see. Write to Smoky Mountain Wrestling with your dream match, picking any match you'd like to see featuring the stars of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Each week on TV during the month of November, a different dream match will be picked, and you'll see it right here, with some great prizes for the winners and a chance at the grand prize for all that enter. Now, here's the information on how you can enter the Dream Match Sweepstakes.
Smoky Mountain Wrestling and Classy Motors of Knoxville present the Dream Match Sweepstakes. Five dream matches will be chosen to air on Smoky Mountain Wrestling, one each weekend in November. If your match is chosen, your name drawn, you'll receive a package of videotapes, T-shirts, and more valued at over $50. All dream matches entered are eligible for the grand prize, an all-expense-paid trip to Thanksgiving Thunder in Knoxville, Tennessee on Thanksgiving weekend. Round-trip airfare for two where applicable. Hotel, limousine transportation to and from the event, ringside tickets, and dinner with your favorite wrestling star. To enter, send your dream match to Dream Match, Post Office Box 1279, Morristown, Tennessee, 37016. Include your name, address, and phone number. Deadline for entries is Wednesday, October 7th. The Dream Match Sweepstakes, part of Dream Match Month, a November to remember from Smoky Mountain Wrestling and Classy Motors of Knoxville.
A title shot.
Hey, wait a minute. Here comes.
Just a man
here comes
to see.
Mr. Ron Wright and the Dirty White Boy out in Dutch. Let's get them a microphone over here, and let's talk to them. I want to talk to them, Dutch.
Okay.
While they're out here and while this match is going on.
Go ahead.
Let me talk to Mr. Ron Wright into the Dirty White Boy out there, and just ask him point blank, because in the ring right now is White Lightning, Tim Horner. Have you guys been avoiding Tim Horner?
Let me tell you something. We never avoid anybody. What the problem is, Tim Horner's been harassing me at home. He's called me on the telephone at 4 o'clock in the morning and got me out of bed. He's called me when I'm trying to eat supper. I can't even get time to take my arthritis medicine and my heart medicine for this man harassing me. He does it again. I've even jerked my telephone out of the wall and is calling the next door neighbors, trying to get me to the phone, wanting to know why we won't get him a title match.
Yeah, why don't you? Why don't you
it's
sign a match?
It's simple. He's not the number one rated man. Tell him that.
That's it, Bob. It's real simple. Who is Tim Horner? Who has he beat?
Huh? He's beaten all of his opponents right here at Smoky Mountain Wrestling. He's been wading right through them.
What opponents? I hadn't seen anybody.
There's a good one in there now in Joe Kazana.
He's had his people to go around here and sign him up on these little pitsy matches that don't mean anything. He's never had nobody in there to beat.
Yes.
He's not even man enough to shine the Dirty White Boy's
I told
boots.
You, Bob.
Let's have a title match with him.
If he's such an easy task for the Dirty White, look at Horner. Leaping right over Kazana. Good move and a takedown from behind. Look at that spinning move. Back with a leg now. That's action. That's excitement. There's an athlete that's got a lot of skill and a lot of athletic ability. I don't know that the White Boy can contend with that.
You don't know if I can contend with that. I happen to be the Smoky Mountain heavyweight champion, and don't you or anybody else forget it, because, brother, I'm the man on top of the hill. They've got to work their way up the ladder to get to me.
All right, if he's such an easy task, if Tim Horner is going to be such an easy task, why don't you just solve the whole thing, put your name on the dotted line, and you just wipe him out?
We've got more sense to sign our name on a dotted line with a man that don't deserve a title match. We signed the dotted line with real deserving people that deserve a title match at this Smoky Mountain title, Mr. Caudill.
Oh, Kazana just put a big neck breaker right on Horner, and that shows you what a tough competitor Horner is to come up from a move like that, get back on his feet.
Well, we've not said he's not a tough man. What we're saying, he's not rough enough and he's not tough enough to get in the ring with the Dirty White Man, the Dirty White Boy, and Ron Wright, the man, to have a title match.
White boy, how would you compete? How would you take a man like Horner out? A man that's as fast and a man that's as quick.
Simple. You slow the quickness down with one big right hook, and that's all she wrote, Daddy.
Right.
Pull the dogs in, the hunt's over.
See, now I told you. Horner can't compete with White Boy. If he could, you know, he there's just, the roll up, and there's the bridge. Nobody gets out of that move. One, two, three.
You're winner of the match. White Boy, Tim Horner.
Tyson rolled him out and beat him. That's the most underhanded thing I've ever seen in my life.
All right, and we can go back and take a look at that. Dutch, watch this one in slow motion.
Let's take a look at it. He does his signature move right here. He does the leapfrog over and does the roll-up right there, and he does a little pin back, and he gets, wait a minute, fans, right in front of the desk here. We've got something going on here. Tim Horner's intercepted. Dirty White Boy.
Didn't even bother calling me.
All right, Tim Horner came right over here to confront him. What you say, Tim? You been leaving messages for him?
I've left you messages. Can't get a hold of the Dirty White Boy. I just want you to know, for the first time I get to confront you, because I can't catch you any other.
I'm a whole feeble, broke down man, Mr. Horner. Need no
see
heart
what you're doing, you're upset me for no reason.
I feel a heart attack coming on. We better get out of here now.
Calm down.
My heart's running away.
I'm not gonna touch you. I just want to know if my name's in that hat.
Your name, definitely. We keep everybody's name in the hat before we draw any names out here. Everybody's name.
He says your name's in there, Tim.
Well, I just want to make sure it's in there because I can't get a hold of you. All I want is a chance at that title. That's all I want.
All right, fans, it's in there according to them. Tim Horner's name in the hat. We'll be back right after this.
I told you your name's in the hat, so get out of the way.
That's
your winner of the match and still Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion, the Dirty White Boy.
Wait a minute, comes Tim Horner out.
Now, what's he doing in
Horner,
there?
Horner, he's got a microphone.
Hey, let me tell you something. I was back there watching the TV monitor. That wasn't his name. That was my name you drew out of that hat, pal. And that just proved to me one thing. You're scared and you're a coward.
Let me tell you something, Mr. Tim Horner. Won't you do yourself a favor and do me a favor and get your butt back to Morristown, Tennessee with Mama before I hurt you?
Won't you hold this?
Oh! Whoa! Spun him right around. And the referee tried to get between them and stop it. Ron Wright's going to have a heart attack. He motions for the Dirty White Boy to come out of there. Still, they face off and square off out there. The White Boy says, give me that
Let
mic.
Let me tell you something now, boy. You don't cross the boundary. You want a shot at me? Well, you got it. But it's a non-title match. You beat me. You get a shot at the belt. You understand, punk?
All right, the Dirty White Boy says, you beat me, I'm going to give you a match, and then we're going to have a shot at the time if you can beat me. Tim Horner, I think, has got the Dirty White Boy right where he wants it. We'll be back, fans, right after this. All right, fans, let me remind you right here, next week you're going to see Tim Horner against the Dirty White Boy, the Heavenly Bodies against Rock and Roll. All of that's going to take place right here next week. Jimmy Golden,
I'm going to tell you something. I ain't never in all my life had to wrestle in front of a bunch of more monkeys than I've ever seen right here in Packman, Kentucky before. I want to ask you another thing. Did you see what that Ricky Morton did to me out there? I ain't never been robbed so bad in all my life. He tripped me right there and held me down by the foot. I'm going to say one other thing to you, Rock and Roll Express. You won a few, we won a few, but the war is just getting started. You see this stretcher right here? Stretcher match, boys, it ain't going to be over with till both of you Rock and Roll punks is flat on this stretcher and they haul you out of here to the hospital. You know, it's something that they know, Jimmy Golden. They know this is a team right here that should be in New York, Madison Square Garden. We should be in Atlanta. We should be on top in every big city in the world.
And see you next week, fans. So long for now.
Quality for doing it, boys. Boys, you're going to get it.